wonderful way to begin our worship service together. Would like to welcome everybody to our time of worship at Flat Springs Baptist. Excited to see so many here, especially ready to hear our little ones help lead in worship this morning as well. Would like to welcome any and all guests that we have this morning. If you are a guest with us, we are excited you have chosen to join us for our time of worship. And we would like to share a little bit of information about ourselves. And the best way we know how to do that is to have you share some information with us. When the offering plate comes around, if you could just have some information on the guest card located in front of you and put that in there, we would like to exchange things that way. Let us hear a word from 1 John 4, chapter 7 this morning as we can 1 John 4, verse 7 this morning as we continue to worship. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Let's pray. God, as we are called to love, let us show love this morning as we worship you. Let us understand what it means to love others this week as a response from our worship together this morning. Guide us in our thoughts. In our distractions, may they be blocked away, Lord, so we can focus on your will, understanding how you've called us together for a purpose. And we pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Higher Ground. Let's turn to hymn number 484 and sing the first, second, and the last. Let's stand as we sing 484.
Thank you for bringing us here on another beautiful Sunday. Lord, be with the sick, the ones that have personal needs, Lord, that only you know. Use this offering for your glory, Lord, and forgive us of our many sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
wonderful to see so many of you. I'll give a little more time. You can sit anywhere here, just as long as I can see you. Exciting to see so many of you here. Really looking forward to many of you leading in song just in a few moments. And when you go back to your seat, don't forget your worship bags to take back with you to go sit with your folks as well. This morning, I want you to look right here. I have three individual shoes. One belongs to me, one belongs to my wife Lauren, and one belongs to Lillian. Which shoe do you think is Lauren's shoe? Which shoe? Think the green one is? Something pink? The pink one is. The pink one right here. That's Lauren's shoe. Now, out of these two shoes, which one might be a little easier? Which one's mine? The big shoe, right? This one is Lillian's shoe right here. Let me see all of your shoes. I wanted to see all the shoes you have on and show everybody else. Look at everybody's different shoes you have on. So many different styles and shapes and sizes and colors. I'm sure you can notice that, right? Dress shoes, flip-flops, all sorts of things. Sports shoes, tennis shoes. It's amazing to see the variety. Well, this morning in our Bible story, we're going to talk about shoes, actually sandals. And this morning we're going to hear about God and Moses and a burning bush. But I want us to focus on a specific verse in that story that we usually don't focus on sometimes, but it's a very important verse, okay? So listen to me in Exodus chapter 3, verse 5. Listen to what God says when Moses starts to walk towards the bush that he has noticed is burning, okay? "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground." God told Moses to take his sandals off because he was standing on holy ground. Now, a little bit before that, that ground might not have been considered holy, but what God wanted Moses to understand was and recognize that being in God's presence is very special. That's a very important thing to remember. Now, I wanted to ask you earlier, do any of you have a rule at home where you're not allowed to wear your shoes inside? Some do, some don't. I didn't have that rule, but I know one thing, that my mother was not happy if I walked through the house with dirty shoes, especially after she had just paid special attention to cleaning the carpet or cleaning the floor, right? Well, we don't have that rule in the sanctuary here either, but it's still a very special place for us to be because we know we're in God's presence. And this week, I want you to remember that. When you're talking with your family or your friends, remember how special it is to be in God's presence. Let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for your love and for teaching us how special and important it is to be in your presence and honor that. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Y'all pick up on that enough to do it. Let's say it. Let's say that. You know, we don't sometimes remember just to tell God we love him. John 3:16 says it all for us, but we don't always return it to him. So let's say it like the children did. I-L-O-L-O-V-U-L-O-L-O-V-U-L-O-L-O-V-U God. Isn't that beautiful? Let's stand and sing hymn number 591, Hark, the Voice of Jesus Calling.
Thank you.
us listen to the words in the responsive reading as we offer them as part of our worship this morning. The people of Israel were in crisis. God saw them groaning in bondage and was preparing to send their rescuer. It would take many years for everything to be just right for the redemption of Israel from Pharaoh's clutches.
But on the right day, in the right place, at the right time, a true worshiper came forward to save his people.
For the Israelites to be rescued, this man would need to offer pure worship by doing God's will for his life, not his own will.
Moses' courageous worship in spirit and truth changed the history of Israel and the world.
We do not have to look far to find people who need rescuing.
There are many types of oppression: spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical.
Let's face it, brokenhearted people are hard to be around sometimes. After an initial attempt at empathy or sympathy, you might find it difficult to remain involved with a hurting person.
It takes commitment, both spiritual and physical, to serve others.
We don't have to feel guilty that we can't solve all the problems of the whole world, nor even of all those we hear about.
The great freedom of living in Christ is that as true worshipers, we are only responsible for our own personal God assignment.
The Holy Spirit will guide us into the situations which God calls us. God will equip us with everything necessary to meet the need.
Our job is to be flexible, available, and obedient as we listen to God's voice.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Matt, for writing and leading us in that reading. Our job is to be flexible, available, and obedient as we listen to God's voice. What a tremendous word. What a tremendous call for obedience. As we look at our prayers, part of our obedience as God's people is to pray. Pray for these that are in need. And today it seems like every time I've walked around from one corner to another, I've heard of another need. And I want to share some with you and ask that you would add them to our prayer concerns. One, Jamie Phillips was yesterday in the hospital in the ER. He's home, still suffering with Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and this has been going on for several weeks. We want to keep Jamie lifted up in our prayers in a very special way. Lynn Reagan at home recuperating from surgery this week. We want to keep her lifted up. Jean Tillotson had a fall this week, and she didn't want to come, and all of us ask her, what happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? She's okay, but she's banged up, and we want to be remembering her in our prayers. And I understand that Jack Riddle was carried by ambulance to the hospital last night. Maybe some heart issues. We want to be remembering him in our prayers in a very special way. And then I'm going to add the name of Grace Griffin. That is Frank Griffin's mother. She is in California. She is very ill. In fact, this past Friday, because of that news, Frank and Luann flew out to California. They'll be coming back Tuesday. We want to keep them lifted up as they minister to her and the health issues. I believe there's talk of maybe some dialysis needing. And so we want to be remembering her in a very, very special way. And then you may have heard that when Lewis and Linda Kelly got home from vacation, they found that their hot water heater had leaked and deposited 2 inches of water throughout the entire house. And so it could be several months before their world returns to normal, but insurance is there, and they've already begun the tearing out. We want to keep them lifted up. And then Jimmy shared with me that Caroline, his wife, is bringing the message where?
Rolling First,
as part of the emphasis on women in ministry, and we want to be remembering her. And God is up to some exciting things in Caroline's life. We want to be remembering her in our prayers in a very special way. You see the name Betty Hurley up on our prayer list too, and Betty's having some difficulties today. It has had a bad night, and we just want to keep her lifted up as well. My goodness, we can't exhaust this list, can we? There's so much need around us. But isn't it good that faithfully we can come together as God's people Sunday after Sunday and not only lift these names to our Lord in prayer, not only today but all this week, but also ask God to speak to us and challenge us how we might come alongside these needs. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I wonder if I've been available and if I've been flexible and I've been obedient to you. As a husband, as a dad, as a community member, as a member of this church, as a pastor. What a tremendous question that we probably all need to spend a few moments today asking ourselves. And Lord, this list that is before us, these are people created in your image that you love dearly. And they are struggling now, many of them with physical ailments and situations. God, would you come alongside each as you know there is need? Would you touch them with your healing, with your grace, with your mercy, with your power, with your comfort, with your love, with your grace? Oh God, touch them, and they shall be touched indeed. Speak to us, oh God, that we might find ourselves like Moses did in a shining moment, a life-changing moment, even today as we worship you, that we might sing as the instruments of praise just did a moment ago, the instruments of Christ, that we love you, God, more than anything else. You are high priority. And help us to teach that to our family, to our community, to the world that you came to give yourself for. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Thank you also for the special music of our Instruments of Christ. It's good to see Nettie with us in worship today. And I know that they're anxious for you to get back, and we're anxious for you to get back to your spot. Appreciate Jimmy filling in for you. Let me ask you a question before we read our scripture, which is found in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Have you ever had a moment with God that you weren't expecting? An unexpected moment. Maybe it was during revival, or maybe it was during vacation Bible school, or maybe it was during a morning worship service, or maybe it was during your private devotion time. But you didn't really expect the spiritual power of God to manifest itself in your life the way it did when you started that event. I have. I remember when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was 12 years old. I was at Second Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And Reverend Raymond Head was preaching the revival services. And I went to church that night because my daddy was a pastor and I didn't have an option, okay? Let's just go ahead and tell the whole truth. And I really was just expecting, you know, wondering how long the service would go and how much time I would have to watch TV when I got home. That was the biggest thing on my mind when I went to worship. But at the end of that worship service, my world would never be the same. I met God. God met me. And my life was changed. I didn't expect it. But I met Him there. What did you expect when you came today? Wonder if God might be up to something. When Moses went out to tend the sheep that he'd been doing since his catastrophe in Egypt, where he murdered a man and now was on the land and on the run, a wanted man for murder. He thought it would be an ordinary day. But it was not only an ordinary, it was far from being an ordinary day in his life. And little did folks who had been in slavery for 400 years know, it was not going to be an ordinary day in their life either. I wonder if God might still be up to something. Exodus chapter 3. Let's read again this familiar story, verses 1 through 12. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word? Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, and yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush has not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and I know their sufferings. And I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up of the land to a good broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites
and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Now, right there, a footnote. Moses probably said, amen. Amen, Lord. Today's the day. You're going to get them out of that mess. Amen. But he wasn't ready for what was fixing to come next. Verse 10. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh. I wonder what went through Moses' mind when he heard that. That you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, but I'll be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, for a moment or two this morning, would you challenge us where we need to be challenged, that we might recognize in just a moment we're going to be sitting in a holy place for a holy divine appointment that could change us forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Life-changing events is our theme for this last quarter of the year. And here's the story of Moses, transformed and being transformed from a murderer to a missionary. Pretty big transition, wouldn't you say? His message was to lead those in bondage to the promised land. Sometimes we call heaven the promised land. Do we know anybody we need to be leading to there? How great would it be for God to call us today, Flat Springs Baptist Church, you and me, wherever God may take us, to be Moses-type deliverers? Well, this shining on the mountain, why in the world? Shining bush, a burning bush that wouldn't be consumed. Matt did a marvelous job of reminding us that each time we worship, we're in that holy place. We need the holy in our life. We need it more today than ever before because we live in an unholy world. Take off your shoes. Something unique's about to happen. I wonder today what we need to take off. I wonder what we might need to examine for a moment. This bush that would burn and not be consumed. He must have been a long way off when he first glanced at it. And curiosity, you know, that curiosity that killed the cat. I'm like the guy that says, which cat and whose cat was it? You know, curiosity. It'll get you going, won't it? And he saw a bush and it was burning. And he said, what is that? Maybe he rubbed his eyes, but he moved a little closer and he thought, well, maybe it's just the way the sun's shining on it. So he rearranged himself, I'm guessing, again. And then he realized, no, this is weird. This is bizarre. You know, we looked at that bizarre wrestling match last Sunday with Jacob. And now here's another bizarre event. I wonder if God could do something bizarre in our life today. And Moses said, I'll turn aside. I love that word. I'll turn aside. I'll stop doing what I normally do. I'm willing to go a different way. I'm curious enough to see what might be happening. How curious are we today about God in our life? The first word that Moses teaches us is go where God is shining. Go where God is shining. Why a burning bush? God was trying to get his attention, wasn't he? It's interesting. It's interesting in the dialogue. You almost miss it. Here's this bush up on Mount Horeb, and it's burning, and it's not being consumed. And my guess is maybe the only person in the world that could see it was Moses. I don't know that, but I guess that. And Moses sees it. But he could have done like I do sometimes when I'm busy. You ever get busy? Could have said, man, that is something up there. I wish I had time to go see. But I'm so busy, I got to keep going. I got to keep moving. These sheep, you know, you can't leave these sheep for a second. You got to always tend to the sheep. Look at verse 3 if your Bibles are still open. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see the great sight, why the bush is not burned. And then verse 4 says, and when the Lord saw him turn aside. Do you see that? When the Lord saw him make a change, the Lord changed him. When the Lord saw him change, when he went to where God was shining, where's God shining today? Where's God shining? Is God shining at Flat Springs Baptist Church as bright as he possibly can? Are we being burned all the time but never consumed up? We're always that bright light for Christ. Moses was doing what he had always been doing since he fell from being a prince in Egypt to now a shepherd in Midian. And we're wise to always keep doing what we need to do. He was just ordinary kind of guy. It wasn't a special day. It wasn't a special moment. It wasn't a special event. In fact, Scripture at least leads us to want to think that maybe he was out there in that wilderness right by himself. No one else. Maybe he looked around and said, man, I wish Jim was here. I'd like for Jim to see that bush. That's amazing. I wish I had my smartphone. I'd take a picture. That's cool. I'd like to keep that forever. But there he was, an ordinary day, a normal day, a regular kind of guy. Never had much. In fact, he describes himself as a tongue-tied, uneducated kind of guy. Henry Blackaby once wrote, when God was ready to judge the world with a flood, he came to Noah. When he desired to build a nation for himself, he turned to Abraham. And when he heard that his children were groaning under the Egyptian bondage, he appeared in a burning bush to Moses. These were three of the most ordinary of men, but God had work to do, and he knew just who to do it with. He knew just who to do it with. He knew just who to do it with. God has always given his people assignments that are too big for them to handle alone, so that a watching world can see not what we can do, but what God can do in us. Isn't that a pretty amazing statement? I wonder what God wants to do. I wonder what he knows I can do better than anybody. I can do something in this world better than anybody else. You believe that? I believe that. Moses had no idea. No idea. He thought he had gotten away, clean away from Egypt. He changed his life. He changed his world. He was now living a good new life, way below the life he had lived. But he was there. Go where God's shining. But when you go when God's shining, be aware. When you start paying attention to God, when you turn aside from your other stuff, God's going to say something. That's the second thing. When you go where God's shining, be aware God will speak. Go where God's speaking. When God gets our attention, we need to listen to what he says. That may be the most profound thing I say all day today. When God gets our attention, we need to listen to what he says. I wonder if our life could change today if we were to walk out of this place saying, this week, I intend to listen to God more intently than any other time in my life. I'm going to listen for God. I'm going to look for burning bushes. And when I see them, and it may be in a neighbor's house, it may be at work, it may be at school, it may be in my devotion time, I'm going to be looking and listening for God to be shining. And when God shines and he speaks, I'm going to listen to what he says. Now, I wish I could tell you that Moses liked what he said. You know, I wish God said, Gary, I want to put you on a diet. I want you to eat cake and ice cream followed up with some fruit, watermelon when it's in season, steak, all the steak you can eat. You know hot dogs, they are going to be a staple on this diet. I wish God would say that to me. Instead, it sounds more like oatmeal, cottage cheese, green vegetables. I wonder if some of us might be saying spiritually today, you know, we've been eating a lot of junk food lately. I mean, we've been going to the spiritual Hardee's and McDonald's and stopping by the spiritual Dairy Queen and loading down all that spiritual cholesterol and triglycerides. We've just been indulging on it. And now God's got a word for us, a new word, a special word, a different word. Moses, I know when he heard, here I am at this burning bush and I'm getting the word. God's going to deliver Israel. You go, God. Oh, God, I'm excited. I've been praying for that. I've been thinking, you know, I killed a guy. I killed a guy because he was mistreating one of your people, Lord. I'm glad you're going to go get him out. I'm excited. I tell you what, Lord, send me a postcard when they get in the promised land. I want to hear from them. They're great. I'm excited you're going to do that. Maybe today you're hearing that God wants to do something great in your life. And you say, oh, boy, I'm excited. God, do something great in my life. I want you to do something great in my life. I want you to mold me and make me and change me, just like Moses. And then, God said, and Moses, you're the one I'm going to send to go do it. And Moses said, spiritually speaking, time out. Whoa, Lord. Whoa, Lord. Whoa, 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 whoa. All that goodness, I was amening, I was amening, I was amening, and then I'm not amening anymore. In fact, if you keep reading the next couple of chapters, he will be described why he is not qualified. He is unable to do this assignment that God's going to give him. Can I tell you something? God's pretty smart. I know that's probably a great revelation for you today. God's pretty smart. He really is. He's, you know, I believe there's no one smarter. There's no one smarter. And I believe that God knows when he gives me an assignment, he knows all the problems I've got with it. He knows all the issues I've got. He knows all my limitations. He knows all my problems. He knows all my inexperience. He knows everything that could cause me to be a failure. And I think he's smart enough to say, if I call you to go with it, I'm smart enough to help you make it happen. He didn't like what he heard. Sometimes if we're going to grow with God, we're going to have to hear some things we don't like. God may tell us that we have to eat more oatmeal and less fries. But we got to listen if we want God to change us. Oh, we may be like Moses, and our first response today might be, no, not today. That's fine, God. Yeah, I know you could change me. I remember when Gary was talking about that, I remember one time in my life I came to church. I really wasn't expecting much, and my goodness, you knocked my socks off. But not today, Lord. I put my socks on pretty tight today. I think I'm good. God kept talking and Moses kept listening. Why? He turned aside. He turned aside. I want you to forget that. It's interesting that Moses didn't like what he was saying. Are there sometimes God says things to us we don't really like to hear? In Billy Hybels' book, The Power of a Whisper, he says this. Don't ever buy into the idea that God prompts his followers to do will be uncomplicated or low cost. We always wish it would be easy, don't we? Sometimes God asks his children to carry heavy loads, as he did with the Apostle Paul even. And even at other times, back-breaking loads. God's purposes are fulfilled. When our task is tough, the reward of knowing we've helped further his kingdom and better our broken world is all the sweeter. If you ever find yourself with a difficult assignment, why not try asking or giving God thanks for trusting you with something that he needs your particular strength. He assigns tasks to the right person every time. He did it throughout history, and he still does today. As you walk whatever pothole path he asks you to walk, never forget the tough journey that Jesus himself once made. Christ was asked to bear the most difficult assignment of all, to lay down his life as a redemptive sacrifice for humankind. Jesus chose to obey, and because of his obedience, you and I enjoy redemption today. When God speaks, in order to be useful for his glorious plan, we often need to face things we don't want to face. We need to hear him say, because listen, if you come today and there is one of those habitual sins in your life that you just keep doing, you know it's wrong, but you keep doing it, you've gotten okay with doing it, God's going to say, you've got to quit doing it. You've got to give it up. You've got to change. If you come say, I'm weak in this area, and I've been weak in this area, and I think I'm going to die weak in this area, God says, you've got to give it to me. Anybody here stubborn in our church? I didn't think so. But if you're here today, and you have a stubborn spirit, a stubborn will, a stubborn heart, you're going to have to give that to God and listen to what God will say. And then the challenge that every one of us is going to walk out and have to decide today, our selfish self, our own self. Will we walk today in our strength or God's strength? Will we lay ourselves fully on God's hands and in his place, or will we walk out in our own strength? What's God saying to you? Have you come to the shining? Are you listening to the speaking? Because the last part today is then we have to go where he sends us. You see, paying attention and listening, they're important, but you've still got to follow the actions. Moses takes the staff. I love that. In all this, he says, you know, I get tongue-tied. And he says, that's okay. I got your brother Aaron. He'll talk for you. Don't worry about that. Yeah, but they don't know me there. That's okay. I'll help you. I don't know your name. How are they going to even listen to me if I don't know your name? Tell them I am. Oh, I wish I had time to unpack that for us today. I am sent you, the essence of everything. Tell them the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Tell them the God, not a God, the God sent you. And then he just said, I don't know enough. I just don't know enough to do it. I'd like to, God. I'd like to help you, but God, surely you can do better. Oh, God takes this simple speaking, tongue-tied, uneducated, and unbelievable fugitive who's wanted for murder. And the last thing God does is he gives him a stick. In fact, he doesn't even give him a stick. He asks him the question, what have you got in your hand? He says, I got a stick. We'd call it a staff. We'd give it that high. We'd polish it up. It wasn't a stick. It was a staff. It was a stick. Okay, it was a stick. It may have been polished up a little bit, but it was a stick. Why do I say it was a stick? Because he's been asked to go to the world power of his day, to Pharaoh, who wants him dead, to deliver the workforce of Egypt, their slave labor force, to let them go. And not only let them go, but give them most of the gold and most of the silver and most of the jewels of Egypt to carry with them. And here's the plan, Moses. Take your stick. Does anybody here think that's a good plan? Does anybody here think that's the way to go make diplomatic change in the world? God didn't want Moses to do it. God was going to do it. He just wanted Moses to be available and flexible and obedient. And what does God need to make a big change in your life and my life today? He needs us to be available and flexible and obedient. Oh, God sent him. Moses takes that staff, that stick, as a signal. I wish he'd have said, oh Lord, here am I. I'll go. I'm ready. Take me. Moses wasn't happy about this assignment. He was not happy. He walked away from the burning bush and put his sandals back on, and he had a knot in his stomach. He was not, I imagine if he had migraine headaches before he got home, he had one. He was not happy with the choice God had made. Sometimes I'm not happy with the choices God makes for me at the beginning. But what I can say is every time when I come to the end and I look back and see how God worked through that situation, you know what I always say? Hallelujah, praise you, Lord. You did it again. Have you ever said, I wonder why I keep getting surprised when God keeps doing what I can't do? Oh, he's going to do some great things. Instead, he simply takes that staff. He goes back to his father-in-law and he says, I'm going to go back to Egypt. Maybe his father-in-law said, excuse me? You're going to do what? Maybe Moses never told him. I don't know. But he gave him a blessing. The priest of Midian gave the deliverer of Israel a blessing. And he went. Today, have we heard from God? Have we seen the shining? Has God appeared? Will we take the staff? I read this. It's dated a little bit. Some of these ball players that I'm going to mention, most of you will remember. But the piece I read says this. It depends on whose hands it's in. And the writer said, a basketball in my hands is worth $19. But a basketball in the hands of Michael Jordan in the day was worth about $33 million. It depends on whose hands it's in. A baseball in my hands is worth about $6. And a baseball in Mark McGuire's hands, we want to bring somebody up, at that time was worth $19 million. It depends on whose hands it's in. A tennis racket in my hands is just a tennis racket. But in the hands of Pete Sampras, it was a Wimbledon championship. It depends on whose hands it is. And a stick in my hands might help me keep a dog at bay, but a stick in Moses' hands will part a mighty sea. It depends on whose hands it's in. A slingshot is just a kid's toy, but a slingshot in David's hands was a mighty weapon. It depends on whose hands it's in. Two fish and five loaves of bread in my hands is a couple of fish sandwiches. But two fish and five loaves in God's hands will feed 5,000. It depends on whose hands it's in. Nails in my hands might produce a birdhouse. But nails in Jesus Christ's hands produce salvation for the entire world. It depends on whose hands it's in. And as you see now, it depends whose hands it's in. So I ask us, whose hands are we in? I see the bush, it's burning. Will we turn aside? I hear God speaking to lead people, lost people, to the promised land. And yes, I hear him say, Gary, I want to use you. You, Gary. You got to do it. And now he sends us out to go and be his people in the midst of his people. May God go with us, and we know he will. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your powerful presence in our worship today. And now you're speaking to hearts. Maybe we remember back when those children were singing about your love and you spoke to us clearly. Maybe when we sang the hymn or heard the choir say, bow the knee, we realized it's been a long time since we bowed the knee. But you're speaking. And now it's time to go. It's time for you to send us from your worship center to your world to be salt and light. God, we need to say some things to you about things in our life. We need to make some agreements with you before we leave. We need to make some commitments to you before we leave. We need to do some things that when we leave, we'll be prepared. God, give us our stick.
and go with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, our hymn of invitation, it's page 600, More About Jesus. This morning, if God is calling you to make some choice, some decision, to turn aside from something, to hear Him, and to be willing to go, as God speaks, may we respond as we stand together. Tremendous hymn to leave on, more about Jesus. I hope that will be indeed our challenge. Just a couple of announcements. The Dorcas will be, mission group will be leaving at 10:45 tomorrow to deliver the heart pillows that they've made for the Heart Center at Moore Regional, and they're going to be eating Italian in Vass. I can't say. Never mind. They're going to be eating Italian. What? Valente's. I knew if I heard it quick. Valente's tomorrow. So if you just want to go eat at Valente's, maybe not. Dorcas, y'all need to do that. And then we have decided that there's going to be a work day this Saturday morning at 7:30 a.m. And if it rains, we're never going to schedule a work day again. We will hire it out from here forward. But if you can, come and join us. We've got some bark we're going to spread and bushes we're going to trim. Homecoming is November the 1st. Gordon West is going to be with us. And we're looking forward to that time, and we do want to do that outside work, and hopefully it won't rain us out as it did the last three times we tried to have that day. So, and one more announcement Matt's going to share with us.
Wanted to ask everybody, or welcome everybody, to come this Wednesday at 7:15. We're going to be packing the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes that we have gathered from January till now. We're going to see what we have. So we would love everybody to come out in the fellowship hall during that time period, all the mission groups will be there, but everyone is invited to be there. We're going to see how many shoeboxes we currently have, and you'll hear some more from those leaders who are Karen Gaines and Haley Page after we find out what that total is. And families are encouraged to have their own shoeboxes they can make. You saw during our Wednesday night meal this past week a threefold cutout there with the items inside of a shoebox, how families can come together and make one themselves, and there'll be more information about that, but this Wednesday, 7:15 in the fellowship hall.
Amen. Thank you so much for your presence here today. It was good to be in the house of the Lord. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power,
and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, as we leave, maybe some of us are feeling the sweet relief of having placed ourselves firmly in Your hands. Maybe some of us are feeling the knot in our stomach for having said, "Yes, Lord, I want to walk with You and You in life-changing ways." But Lord, we leave now as You send us out, because You will put people in our path who are in bondage and who need to know that there is a deliverer and there is a way to the promised land. Help us with that divine assignment as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh.